Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians 5:22. We'll read the rest of the chapter and probably only look at a few verses this morning. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I think we will only just read those verses this morning because I want us to look particularly. Did you notice the language? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Well, how in the world do you do that? What does that look like? How do we even know what that is? As unto the Lord. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. You're going to have to look to him to find out what it is. And husbands, love your wives. What do you mean by that? How in the world do we even know what love is? Christ. Christ. This passage shows, first of all, and I believe preeminently, how absolutely all-permeating the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ is to the believer in his life or her life. This shows how that no decision that a believer makes, no relationship that he maintains, no attitude that he embodies, no consideration that he entertains is free from the constraint of the love of Christ, or is free from the dominion of his lordship over us. Everything. Everything has to do with him. Do you see this here? Even our most important of relationships, especially them, are what they are because our relationship to Christ is what it is. You see that here? Paul is not just saying that the submission of the church to Christ is a good example of how a wife should submit to her husband. That's not at all, that's not really what he's saying. What he's saying is that it's the reason for it. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect example in everything. How can a perfect man not be an example unto men? He is our example in all things. But much more than that here. Christ is the reason for our love, the reason for our submission, the reason for every relationship being what it is. Our relationship to Christ is the reason for our relationship to one another being what it is. If we don't have that, if we're not his bride, if we're not his church, if we're not submissive to him, how do we even know what it looks like? We don't know anything. This is the true relationship of husband and wife. What does it look like? Well, you know, my mom and daddy were a great example. That may be true, but don't look to them to see what it looks like. And this is true of the relationship of church members to one another also. I wanted to mention, by the way, here. How do we know how to interact with one another? To behave toward one another. To treat one another. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. as I've loved you. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just because you put the word church out on your sign in front of the building doesn't mean you're a church. God said this is a church right here. And this is a marriage. What we're looking at this morning, this is a marriage before God. Perfect examples of what love and forgiveness are. True, His love for us and His forgiveness of us. But much more than that, He's the motivation of our love. He's why we forgive, not just an example of it. He's the inspiration and the very life and light of all that we do and all that we are. That's what I want us to see here. This is clearly shown here and everywhere we've looked in this book. Wives and husbands, as well as you are submitting to and loving one another. And you think about your life with your husband or your wife as we look at this. As you are submitting to one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, covering one another's faults. As you think about one another throughout the day, your thoughts of one another. When you talk about one another in front of others, when you make decisions that affect one another, if you are not thinking of Christ, if your relationship with Christ has nothing to do with that, if He does not have everything to do with the way that you act and think and talk to one another and about one another, then you don't have a good marriage. You don't have what God defines as marriage in His book. You just don't. This is what it is. It's not just looked at it, you know, and kind of try to imitate that. Yes, we do. It says it in the context. You remember, we're imitators of God. But He's telling us what it is here too, what marriage is. And this is why, and this is a very important point, this is why, much more so than some of my friends, I insist, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I strongly recommend, I implore you before God, marry a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You young people that aren't married yet, let me ask you young ladies an honest question this morning. If you're a young lady that hopes to one day be married to the man of your dreams, how is He going to love you as Christ loved the church if He doesn't even know who Christ is? How is a wife going to be a true wife before God if she doesn't know who Christ is? How? You answer me that. Marriage is a very sacred and meaningful institution of God. You're married before God. You give vows to one another before God. You are giving yourself to somebody. You're becoming one with another person. And most who go through this don't think about that. Nothing can ever just be about you anymore. Ever. It's about us now. You don't get married just because you're lonely. You don't get married because you want to get out of your parents' house. You don't get married because you like the idea of getting married. You don't get married because you like a person or desire them. Marriage is a complete and absolute commitment to somebody. That's what it is before God, because as Christ loved the church, would you say He's committed to the church? And the church is committed to Him. Paul said, I count not my life dear unto myself, that I might fulfill the mission that he sent me on, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not, it's to give your heart away and be glad that you did it. Never look back. Do not enter into marriage lightly. I don't want to stand before you this morning and talk about this thing of marriage without impressing this upon you. A lot of young people here this morning. A lot of people that are married that may not know what it is. You're exchanging vows before God. You're vowing to one another, but you're vowing them before God. You're vowing them unto God also, because this is His institution. Numbers 32, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. I'm promising to love and take care of her forever. I'm promising that to her, but I'm promising it to God too. I'm going to take care of her. You gave me a wife. You've entrusted her to me. Ecclesiastes 5:5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And I have some very dear friends who have divorced, and in some cases I still love both of them. And I'm pretty sure they both are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If your marriage doesn't work, it doesn't mean necessarily you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Just means you weren't really married according to God's definition of it. There's no mistake that we can't make. Let's face it. But don't enter lightly into it. You thought you were married. You called it that. You may have even known what marriage was and really hoped that that's what it was. And that's heartbreaking when it's not. It's heartbreaking, especially for you, but for those that love you. But this is marriage. Not what you call marriage, not what this world calls marriage. Man has the audacity to think that it is his prerogative to define marriage. You see it in the news, don't you? How are we going to define marriage? Too late. We passed that. God's already defined it. That's not even a consideration. How are we as a society going to define marriage? God ordained marriage and God has defined it. And I have a question for those who want to be married but are entering into an abomination before God. I've got a question for you. If you are in defiance against the Word of God with regard to marriage, and I'm not talking about something that's debatable, if you are in open, undeniable defiance to the Word of God, to God Himself and His Word, then why do you insist on getting married at all? Think about that. Just live like animals and get on with your life, because God ordained marriage. If you got no use for Him, why do you have any use for the things that He's ordained? Just don't even call it that. Just live like an animal and get on with it. But if you're going to acknowledge God at all, or His institution of marriage, it's going to be God's way, isn't it? If you don't like God's definition of marriage, then well, why get married at all? Just do what you're going to do. Did you know that a man's relationships in his home, with his family, and in the church too, but especially at home, those relationships with his wife and his children, those are the true test of his relationship with God. You think I made that up? Let me read you some scripture. The true test. Our Lord did not say, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you can answer all the questions correctly, all the doctrinal questions. No, it's love, isn't it? It's love. in 1 Timothy 3, when laying out the qualifications for a pastor now, the qualifications for a pastor, Paul says, if you want to know if somebody's going to be able to serve God in that capacity, look how he runs his household. You read it, 1 Timothy chapter 3, read the chapter. You want to know if he can do it? If God has called him to do it? See how he runs his house. 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. According to knowledge, not according to the way you feel, according to what God said, giving honor unto the wife. We're not animals. We're responsible before God. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. She needs you. She depends on you, according to God. She may not admit it. She may not want to. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You ever read that scripture? Honor your wife and treat her properly so that you can talk to God without a problem. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, and let's face it, love's not just an emotion, is it? Love is, I'm all in. You have me. You have whatever I can do. You have whatever I am, whatever I know, whatever I'm capable of is yours. If any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you say you love God and know God, and you mean to your wife, you mean to your children, you talk hatefully about them, you despise them, and you don't take care of them, God says you're a liar. You don't love me. He said, if you don't love your brother who you can see, how are you going to say you love me who you don't see? I'm thankful for the public worship of God. Aren't you? Can't live without it. Just not going, by God's grace, I'm just not going to. But what you are at home, that's what you are. That's what you are. That's what I am. And let me say something again that I've said recently, and I'm going to keep saying it. The contemporary woman doesn't believe a word of this stuff. Doesn't believe a word of it. About submission, about the husband being the leader of the family and the wife being dependent on and supportive of the husband. But let me tell you something. The world may consider God's way weak. Well, she's just not a very strong woman, you know. She has to ask her husband everything, you know, if it's okay with him. She's not a very strong woman. The world may consider God's way weakness and their way strength. They may speak of being an independent woman. God said there ain't no such thing. You're going to look to your husband. You're going to depend on him. They speak of being a strong-willed woman when a woman will not submit. When she will not be submissive, they say, well, she can't help it. She's just a strong-willed woman. No, she's not. She's weak. Being a witch is the easiest thing in this world. That's the easiest thing in the world. That's weak. If you're going to be a wife according to God, that's going to take some strength. You're going to need some strength from him to do that. Let the world say what they will. And here's the thing about that now. And I'm not going to be long this morning because I want you to remember what I say. I don't want it to get lost in an abundance of words this morning. This is not complicated. It's very simple. Let the world say what they will. Here's the thing about that. The God. Now you think about God for a minute. The Son of God. the Holy Spirit of God, the God that loved his own from the beginning now, and said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end too. Having loved his own without beginning or end, the God that sent his Son into this world to redeem his people, and he got the job done. The God that said, let there be light in the creation of the world, but also said, let there be light to this wicked, black, God-hating heart, and there was light. The God who purchased his church with his own precious blood. The God who rules all things for his own glory and the good of his own sheep. That God said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands and be subject unto them in all things. And I tell you what he said to the man, to the husband. Love your wife like I love you. That God we just described, he said, you love your wife the way I've loved you. If you do things the world's way, they'll like you a lot better. You'll be up with the times, you know. You'll be a contemporary woman or man. They'll understand you and they will applaud you. Or you can obey the God that made you, and who will determine everything that happens to you. And I'll tell you this, everything that God does, you know why he does it? You can see it in the language of our text this morning. Everything he does and everything he does it and he says it to honor his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not really all about marriage, really, of a man and a woman. And, you know, this is about marriage and Christ and his church are a good example of what marriage should be. No, this is all about Christ and his church. And a good marriage is a picture of that. So that God can put on display in our very lives the glory of his Son. That's what this is. That's what Paul said, isn't it, in verse 32? He said, I'm not really talking about the marriage of a man. I'm talking about Christ and his church. That's what I'm talking about. Matthew 22:2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now you think about that. The kingdom of heaven, what's it like? It's like a king making a marriage for his son. And if God has given you a marriage, or ever does give you one, that reflects the glory of that one, then you are highly blessed of God. Let's pray.